All right, how you guys doing? Happy New Year. It's great to see all of you. You guys are amazing. We're finally here, huh? 2016. 2015 was awesome. But now 2016 is here. I have a few announcements. I'm so glad you guys are all here. We have a special brother that came all the way from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Brady Burkett. Stand up, please. As you guys remember, Brady was, we featured on the summer. He met the Groovers over the internet and started the Bible and became a disciple down in Louisiana. So welcome. Great to have you here with us. I'm so glad, I'm so inspired, so encouraged. I'm truly humbled that I get to speak to you guys this morning. But before we jump in, let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, Abba, Father, we come before you, the one true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of David, the great I am. Father, how awesome, how majestic you are. God, thank you so much for waking us up this morning. Thank you so much to allow us to be here, to gather, to worship you, the one true God. Father, I pray as we come before you, that our hearts will be drawn closer to you, that our minds are engaged, ready to hear your words. God, thank you so much for 2015. What you have done for us and through us. God, you are simply amazing. But God, we look forward to 2016. And I know you're going to do even greater things. Things that we can't even believe. God, thank you so much that we get to see it. God, help us to be open. Help us to love you. Help us to remember you throughout this year. Father, we love you so much. Come be with us now. Come speak to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bible over to Philippians chapter 3. You know, Steve Collier's lesson last week was awesome, wasn't it? Remembering 2015, all the things God has done. It was inspiring. You know, but I believe 2016 is even going to be greater than 2016. Our God moves from strength to strength. He doesn't go up and down valleys like us. He goes from strength to strength. You know, I think about just the beginning of this year, what God has done already. I think about the Kings moving here from Columbia, South Carolina. Why don't you guys stand up again, Tony and Talisa? They are here. They moved in. Glad to have you guys. They're going to be working with our youth and family. Exciting times for them and for all of us. You know, this year, Chike Uzi Bunam is going to be our intern. Chike, what's his name? Chike is going to be our intern, our campus intern for the entire year. He quit his job so he can be the intern. Awesome. And then last but least, today we're going to have a baptism. Andrew Pierce, stand up, Andrew. What a way to start off, right? The first baptism of the year. Andrew Pierce, a student at GGC, is going to get baptized at the Hepburn today at 1:30. So it's going to be amazing time. You know, God is always looking forward. You will not see God in the past if you're looking for him in the past. He's moving on. We have to keep up. We have to move on with God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 here, it says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of what for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It says, forget about what's happened in the past. We must strain, we must press on towards the goal, the prize, heaven. And Jesus is our prize. You know, let's make a pledge this year together with each other that we will not let anything stop us from getting closer to God. Let's make that pledge. You know, in Isaiah chapter 43 here, it says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. You know, he wants to make new things for us. Are you open to let him making new things in your life? He wants to make a path in the wilderness. He wants to make streams in the wastelands of our hearts. God wants to make new things. You know, last year our theme was the kingdom of God, right? Amazing. We did so many lessons, so many sermons on the kingdom of God. This year, our new theme for this year, you guys ready? The theme for 2016 is, if you can get the clicker on here, is transform. 2016 will be the year of transformation. I can't wait what God's going to do to transform us. It's going to be amazing. You know, God wants to transform us. We need a transformation. The world needs a transformation. The world is dying. It's decaying. The divorce rates are just going up and up. It's hopeless. There is no hope. God wants to transform us so that we can transform the world. You know, I looked up the word transform, and it says, it's a verb. It says to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character of. A verb that means to change from one form or medium into another. Change from one thing or state to another. And here are some of the synonyms. To change, to convert, to transfigure, to alter, to overhaul, to reshape, reconstruct, to renew, to rework, to remake. And the last one I love is to morph. It's to morph. God wants to change the world. God wants to change us. And it starts today. You know, in the new year, we make resolution, right? Every year we make all these resolutions. You know, the highest gym membership is in January. People are like, I'm going to get into shape. I'm going to sign up. And they may go to a few of these things in January, but then comes February and March, and it kind of just drops, right? Come to like April and June, and you know, those guys are gone. And you know, something I think about that, I think we do that because, and it's good, and we want to try to get in shape, and we have all these goals, but I think sometimes we do it on our own power. And it doesn't last. You get excited and we do it for a couple of months and then it kind of tail off and then we just stop altogether because it's on our own power. So God wants to change us from within. We need the power of God to sustain us. We need the power of God to keep us going, not just for this year, but for the years to come. Until we see Jesus, He wants to sustain us until we see Jesus again. There are many things that we need help to change and to be transformed. But I think there's three crucial things that I think we need to be transformed that will help us this year. Number one is a transformed mind. We need a new mind. We need our mind to be transformed. Number two is we need a transformed heart. We need a new heart, a transformed heart. And then finally, a transformed faith. We need a transformed faith. Number one here, a transformed mind. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. You know, the battle for your soul starts in the mind. The battle for your soul starts in your mind. Romans 12, we'll start in verse 1. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will know that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. He says we need to renew our minds, and you will be transformed. Change your way of thinking, or you will start to conform to the pattern of this world if you don't renew your mind. So you ask me, how do I do that? How do I renew my mind? You know, to start off here in Colossians 3, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. First, you got to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Earthly things are temporary. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Your job, I hope and pray you don't lose your job this year. Your house, your health, there's so many things that are temporary in this world. He says, don't set your mind on those things. Set your mind on things that are above. Those things will last. I don't know about you guys, but my mind is out of control. My mind takes me where I don't want to go. You know, to be able to control your mind, you must set your things above. Imagine if we can hear your minds right now, what you're thinking. Imagine if we can all hear each other's mind. Would it be pure? Would it be righteous? Right now, even we're sitting at church, would there be critical attitude? Would there be anger in our minds? The truth is Jesus is sitting right next to you. He can read your mind. We need to set our mind on things above. In 1 Peter here says, the end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. You know, sometimes I start praying. I get in my car and I start praying and I'm praying to God and I'm thinking, did I mail off that letter? Okay, I got to email. I got to get to the post office. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, I need to pick up some stuff. And, you know, pretty soon I'm start praying, but I end up at Walmart. You know, like, what am I doing here? I was out praying, and, you know, my mind it just goes. And you're trying so hard to focus even during prayer. Your mind is thinking about all the things you got to do during the day. Oh, I got to pick up my kids and so on and so forth. And it's so hard to control your mind. It says here, it says, you got to have a sober mind. Be alert, a sober mind, clear-minded. Sober mind comes from a sober source. And that source has got to be God's word. You know, not my opinions, not my BFF's opinion, not my mom and dad, not my grandma, not even the preacher. It has to be God's word. We got to get to God's word to sober our mind. Now, how do you renew your mind? You have to fill it with God's word. Just think above. Think the thing above. Fill it with God's word. What do you fill your minds with? Is it TV? Is it shows? Our mind has a capacity to hold so much memory. Whatever you put in there, it's going to stay in there. And it's going to come out eventually. You know, junk in, junk out, right? What are you putting in your mind? His words will help you fight off things in your life. Sins and distractions and worries and anxieties. It will help you if you have His words inside of you. If you have no word, if you have no God's word in your life, you will drift away. You will drift. And pretty soon you realize, wow, why am I so over here? Because you have no anchor. The word of God has got to be your anchor. When you drop that anchor, you're not going anywhere. You're solid on the word of God. You know, we live in a Google generation. You tell people anything about God and they go home and Google it. Let me find out what this is all about. We have the easy access to information, right? But you know, the Bible is not an information book. And it's great. They have a lot of history in there. But the Bible is a spiritual book. It helps us to become more like God, to see what God is like. And sometimes when we're not careful, we're just swayed by the world. We're just politically correct. We make no stands because we're not anchored. You know, we must be deep-rooted in the Word of God. You know, Jesus talked about a parable of the sower. He says, one of those things fell into a rocky place, and it did not spring up because the roots were shallow. And when the sun came up, it withered, and it died because it did not have roots. You know, turn to Luke chapter 6 here. Luke chapter 6. We're starting verse 46. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for those who come to me and hear my words and put them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck the house but could not shake it because it was well built. But those who hear my words and do not put them into practice are like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Jesus is saying, it's not good enough to just hear the word of God. He says, you got to put it into practice. Since you are laying a foundation on the rock if you put them into practice. You know, we have to be desperate for God's word this year. To be transformed, you've got to be desperate. I am desperate for air. I need air to breathe. You need air to breathe. I don't know how long we can hold our breath until we pass out. But we need air. We need water. We got to have water. We need food to sustain us. We need the Word of God to sustain us, our spiritual life. Is it like that to you? Is it like air and water and food? God's Word has to be in our desperate heart to get that. Jesus wants us to put them into practice. You know, without putting God's Word into practice, it says you will collapse. Your house will collapse. It may not be now, but eventually it will. When the torrent, when the rain comes, when the wind comes, it's going to collapse because your foundation was not straight. You know, some of you are studying the Bible right now. And I'm so excited for you. And I have a secret to tell all of you who are studying the Bible right now. You guys listening? You have hit the jackpot. You have hit the jackpot. If you're studying the Bible right now, you have hit the jackpot. You go to these lotto stuff and you scratch off and, you know, it's like, I'm wasting my money. If you're studying the Bible, you have hit the jackpot. You've got it. Keep going. Don't stop. It may get a little hard, but keep going because the end will be worth it. You know, some of you have been coming for years. Some of you have grown up in the church and you haven't decided to study the Bible. This year could be your year. Why not? What have you got to lose? You got everything to gain. This could be your year. Satan and the world will pull you away from God if you do not hide his words in your heart. I encourage you guys. Been coming, or you grew up in the church, study the Bible. Find out what God has to say for you. You know, get our mind for action. Prepare our mind for action. You know, sometimes we go to these conferences and summits, and we're thinking, okay, I'm going to find the secret to being spiritual. Oh, I can't wait to go to these things. And you get there, and all they tell you is, you need to read your Bible and pray. And I'm like, really? I drove all the way over here just for you to tell me to read my Bible and pray. And that's what I'm telling us today. It's not rocket science. It's read your Bible and pray. And put them into practice. Not just merely hear them. Transform our mind. God wants to transform our mind. We need the Word of God in our mind. Number two, transform hearts. Turn to Mark chapter 7. You know, our hearts are who we are, the way we think, the way we feel, the words that we say, the actions that we do. You know, we had a great heart to begin with. But I think because of sin, our hearts are damaged. Our hearts are broken. Our hearts are hard and untrusting. It's broken. Our hearts can lead us astray if we're not careful. You know, Jeremiah 17 here, hold your places in Mark. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It says, your heart is deceitful. It may lead you astray. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. God says, you got to guard your heart. Make sure it's at the right place. Are you in tune with your heart? Because God looks at your heart. Mark chapter 7, we're starting with 18 here. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body. In saying this, Jesus declared our foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. You know, these things come out of our hearts, it says. And it defiles us. We need a heart transformation. We need our hearts to be molded like God, for God to transform our hearts. You know, God uses His Word to help us with our hearts. He uses the Word. And then He uses another thing. He uses people to help us with our hearts. He put people in our life for a reason. You know, but because of our pride, we resist them. Our kids, we love going to QT. I think we're keeping QT alive, you know. We go to QT and, you know, my kids, when I tell them, hey, can you clean up your room? 20 minutes later, hey, can you clean up your room? But when I say, hey, let's go to QT, they're at the door. Like, where'd you guys come from? You're ready to go. You got your shoes on already. And sometimes we're like that. We have this selective listening, you know? We have selective hearing. When people tell us about things in our character that we're like, oh, do I have to clean up this room? Oh, really? I'm watching Disney here, you know? And when they said something else that we don't want to do, we're at the door with our shoes on, ready to go. We have this selective hearings. Are you listening to the people that God has put in your life? You know, God did not create us to be by ourselves. There is no Lone Ranger disciples. We need each other. We need the church. We need you and I to be in each other's life. Who are your best friends? That's what I ask. Who are your best friends? Are they disciples? Are they people helping you get closer to God? Or are they taking you away from God? Are they pulling you back into the world, the sins, the empty way of life? Or are you listening to people that God has put in your life to help you get closer to God? God wants your heart. He wants you. He wants all of you. Remember, God is jealous for you. He wants you. I love this scripture in 2 Chronicles, the first part of 2 Chronicles. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." I love that. Whenever I read that, I think about Cops. You guys watch Cops? This is bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you, right? And so I envision God having this spotlight looking. Yeah, I don't know why they're running from the cops. You know, they have the helicopter lights and they're running and the big old spotlight on them. And I think that God sometimes like that. He's looking at us and he says his eyes of the Lord is ranging the earth. He's got that spotlight. And he sees a heart that's fully committed to him. He's like, I'm going to strengthen that heart. I asked you this morning, when his spotlight, his eyes are on your heart, what does he see? Does he see a heart that is fully committed? Or does he see a heart that's kind of nonchalant about things? Or half committed? Oh, do I really have to go to church? I'm so tired. Do I have to read my Bible? Do I have to share my faith? Do I have to? Are you fully committed to God? He wants to strengthen your heart. A transformed heart is a fully committed heart. Let me tell you what it looks like. A few things. A committed heart. He or she is about the purpose of God. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. Hate sin with a passion. Because he understands that sin separates him from God and how Jesus had to die for his sins. He is connected to God in his words and devoted in prayers daily. What it looks like. He loves God's people and his kingdom with a passion to serve and protect God's people. A fully committed heart. He's active in helping others know God and become true disciples of Jesus. He's open about his life and active about getting help to become more like Jesus. He lives for Jesus. He's all in. There's no back door. A fully committed heart. He wants to transform our hearts this year. You know, I drive on the interstate a lot. And you know, sometimes we drive and we don't see our blind spot, you know? And we're driving along and we see what's in front of us and we see the rear, but there's a spot that we don't see. And I think sometimes that's exactly where we're at spiritually as well. Sometimes we're going along in our spiritual life and we're about to change lane and there's a big old Mack truck about to come through. And we're like, I need you to tell me there's a Mack truck coming through. Don't change lane right now. Stay in your lane. And when it's open, change lane. We need each other to help us with our blind spots. I've got a lot of blind spots. I need a lot of you to help me. How about you? Are you willing to let people help you with your blind spots? Don't change lane. That Mack truck is coming through. It'll crush you. Have people in the car with you that will help you. You know, ask people who really know you. What do you see in me that is not like Jesus? It will humble you. It will give you direction where you need to go and what you need to change. The question is, are you humble enough to ask this question? What do you see in me that is not like Jesus? Because I want to change that. My goal is to become more like Jesus. That's my goal. I don't know about you, but that's my goal. My goal is to become more like Jesus. We need each other to become more like Jesus. At the end of the year, will you be able to say that you are more like Jesus than you are right now? Let's be transformed in our hearts. Become like Jesus and allow others to help you. Stop being prideful. God is concerned about your heart. His eyes is ranging the earth, looking for a heart that is fully committed, because he wants to strengthen you. My last point, transform faith. Turn to Matthew 14. You guys with me? Chapter 14 here. But let me tell you a story that happened to me. I was a college student out of UGA, and I was working at an intramural office, and they put on this thing, it's called a biathlon, where you run for a while, and then you bike. And so I was working for them, and they put me out in the boondocks, out in Watkinsville somewhere. And I had my shirt on, and I was directing traffic. As they were biking through, I'm telling them to go that way, like this. So early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, it was still kind of dark, and then they dropped us off at our position. And so I'm standing there in the middle of nowhere. And so I start reading my Bible. I got out my little Bible and start reading it. And I was reading it. And I looked up, and I saw three dogs. Looks like they haven't eaten for days. They were coming towards me, and I'm thinking, okay, where am I going to run? I don't know where, there's no house that I can see. Am I going to fight them? There's three of them. That won't be good. And so I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it had been like in the, that a jogger had been attacked. So all that's running in my mind, dog attacked or jogger. So all that's running in my mind. So I'm like, oh, man, what do I do? And I remember this. I kid you not. I remember. I said, God, you're going to take care of this. And I went back and restarted reading my Bible again. And about 15 minutes later, and I looked up, and two dogs fell asleep. And one of them took off. And I'm thinking, what just happened here? And I went back to the dorm, and I went to the brother's dorm, and like, you guys, Daniel and the lion's den. God rescue me. Like, brothers, listen to me. And but you know what I remember? I remember not having a single doubt in my mind. After that prayer, I was like, God, you're going to take care of it. Went back to read my Bible. I just kind of lost track. I went to the Bible. I was so engaged. And then I realized, oh, what about the dogs? You know, and wow, two of them fell asleep. And you think, sometimes people say, John, that was a coincidence. Really? I've seen so many things in my life that I know it had to be God. How can there be so many coincidences in my life? You know, I don't have enough time to sit here and tell you all the things that I've seen that God has done. It's not coincidence. It is not by accident that you are sitting where you are right here. It is not by accident that somebody invited you to come to church to study the Bible that you're sitting right here. It's not an accident. God has allowed you to be here. Matthew 14, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already in considerable distance from land, buffered by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down on the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the winds died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You know, this is an amazing story. That Jesus was walking on the water, and they were afraid. And they say, "It's a ghost." And Jesus said, "No, it's me." And Peter said, "If it's you, tell me to come to you." And Jesus says, "Come." And he got out of the boat and starts walking towards Jesus on the water. I can't picture this. And it says he got closer and closer to Jesus. But then he looked at the wind and he began to sink. And he says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out and took hold of him. You guys see how Peter was within arm's reach of Jesus when he started doubting, when he started seeing the winds. And sometimes we're like that. We are within arm's reach of Jesus, and we doubt, and we start to sink. But unlike Peter, sometimes we're too prideful and arrogant to ask for help. So we try to swim in this raging storm. Ask Jesus for help. You know, notice Jesus never taught them about how to get more faith in the Gospels. Jesus simply rebuked them for their lack of faith. "Where is your faith? You of little faith. Why did you doubt?" He never taught them how to have more faith. You see, the real reason for faith. Faith is simply a decision. It's not this hype that you're trying to come up with. Faith is simply a decision. Yeah, and we understand faith every day, right? Who of us showered this morning? Okay, so I know who to fellowship after this. We turn on the water, right? We know it's going to come on. We got into, who drove it this morning, right? We put in our keys and we turn it on and our car's cranked up. By faith, we knew that was going to happen. Many of us have jobs. We go to work. And we know they're going to pay us or we wouldn't be going to work. We get up early in the morning. We dress ourselves. We get in a car. We fight traffic all the way to work. Just so that we know at the end of the week or every other week, we're going to get a paycheck. By faith. You do all these things by faith. Faith is a decision to trust God completely. To trust God completely. Faith is a decision to let go and let God be in control. Faith is a decision to believe in the power of God. Do you believe in the power of God? Faith is a decision to lose your life for Him, to go all in, to hold nothing back from God. Faith is decision. It's a decision to have no doubt. Your closeness to God should overwhelm your fear. Is your closeness to God overwhelming your fear? Or is your fear overwhelming you? Jesus loves faith. I put down a few things here that Jesus talked about faith. In Matthew 15, it says, Jesus turned to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And your daughter was here, and her daughter was here from that very hour. The Canaanite woman. Jesus turned and said to her in Matthew 9, "Take heart, daughter," He said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed from that moment. A woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. Matthew 8, when Jesus heard this, He was amazed and said to those following Him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." A Roman centurion. Matthew 9, some men brought to Him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the man, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven." Paralyzed man. It says when Jesus saw their faith. Faith can be seen. Can God see your faith? Mark chapter 5. He could not do any miracles there except lay His hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village at His hometown. So would Jesus be amazed at your faith? Or will He not be able to do anything because of your lack of faith? Get faithful with your friends, for your co-workers, your neighbors, and your family, for your fellow students, your friends, your wife, your husband, for your kids. Are you faithful? Tell them about God, how He has changed your life. Teach them the Bible and how to have a relationship with God. God wants them to know Him too. You are the only hope that people have. Are you going to pass by without making any impact? Do they even know that you're a disciple? This world, again, is dying and decaying. No hope. Get faithful and get busy helping others to know God. There's simply no time for doubt. Let's be transformed in our faith. Let the grace and love of God transform you and motivate you to transform your faith. You know, be daring. Don't let fear and doubt stop you. Be faithful in what God can do with your life. We have one life to live. We can't do it over. We don't have a mulligan to pull. This is it. 2016. Will you be transformed in 2016? Or will you remain the same? The truth is, you're either growing or you're dying. I want us to grow spiritually, closer to God. Let's decide that 2016 will be a year that God will transform us. That He will transform our mind. That He will transform our hearts. And that He would transform our faith to be more like Him. I'm incredibly humble to be speaking to you this morning. Our God is an amazing God. He loves us so much. I want us in 2016 to show our gratitude towards God by the way we live, the way we talk, and let our faith shine to the world around us. I love you guys so much. Happy New Year. God bless.
Amen. What a tremendous message. Amen. Awesome. Let's give John another round of applause for that incredible message. Transformation. Transform mind. God's word helps us to fight challenges. Drop the anchor, the word of God. If you're studying the Bible, guess what? You've hit the jackpot, amen? Transform hearts. Sin damages our hearts. Very convicting. What do you see in me that's not like Jesus? I'm afraid to ask that question. I've got to pray and be humble about that. Transform faith. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident that we're here. Have no doubt. Trust, believe, be all in 2016. Very convicting message. A lot to meditate on. Grateful for a prophet like John Yang that shared that with a pure heart. Very grateful for you, bro, and challenging us to be transformed 2016. Amen? Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Dear God and Father in heaven, thank you so much for John Yang. Thank you so much for the theme this year, transformation. God, to have a transformed mind, a transformed heart, and a transformed faith. Father, I pray that we will look very different 2016. Father, I pray that I will look different 2016. I pray that we all will look different 2016. And Father, I know that transformed mind and transformed heart is very, very challenging, but it's not something you can't do. And Father, I know transformed faith is something you can't do. Father, not only do we need to have transformed faith in you, but we need to have transformed faith in one another. Help us to believe that we can all change. Father, help us not to categorize each other, but to really inspire and spur one another on to have the greatest year we've ever had. We love you, God. We thank you so much for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. The baptism is at the Hepburns at 1:30 today. You are dismissed.